We are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, I'm so goddamn hot in this freaking house right now. Look, I know that yesterday you before the show, you were giving me a hard time for complaining about the heat.
I was giving you a pep talk.
It was a pep talk. There is like a 50-50 shot halfway through this show. I take my shirt off. I'm just giving you the warning. I have been suffering in this heat all day.
Those small little red pubic chest hairs.
Nah, I look great, man. And it's not red. It's black. All my body hair is for some reason really dark.
I don't want to know that. I don't.
We're gonna find out if I take off my shirt because it's so goddamn hot.
I think it's funny. Like it's like people in the South trying to complain to people up north about the winter. I don't want anybody to in the northern part of our country.
As long as you can admit your winners don't even come close to touching.
No, I will admit. I do think, however, for like a state, like a coastal state, like Louisiana, when you got that wind from the Gulf of Mexico blowing in, that shit gets cold, man.
Don't do this, Blake.
It does get cold.
Is the state of New Jersey and all of New England not coastal? Like what?
I mean, not all of it.
We can't talk weather. Okay. We can't talk geographics. We can't talk time zones too, apparently.
By the way, I don't know how you feel. I would rather it be 7 degrees outside than feels like 114 outside.
Well, because you can always bundle up more. I will.
Correct.
The only thing that I will push back on that, though, as two individuals who play college football, and I play in a state that was much, much colder, standing out when it was freezing cold was so much worse than standing outside when it was hot. I agree with that.
But you can't really bundle up when you're playing football. You can't go out there, you know, but that's when the inexperience of you non-hunters come into play here. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have a thermal, then you got to have a sweatshirt underneath the pad.
But you can't. That's too much stuff. And me specifically, I had to.
Oh, not for me.
I had to keep as little clothing on as possible when it was cold out, because like I had to be able to like really move my arms and to be able to like really snap through with my legs. There were times where I put too much stuff on.
I did too. I mean,
I know that you had to move, but it's a different type of
movement. I get it.
Yeah, like mine's like I need full body flexibility and extension. I played one game that was sub-zero at the University of Maine. The ground was frozen solid. I do not wish that upon anybody.
You know, this is going to be such a bad transition. I wish you could have let me in there. But you know who's not ice cold in recruiting?
Oh, Rutgers.
Russ, speaking of New Jersey weather, and SMU, which we'll probably debate here. We missed it last night because we had so much talking about. But, man, how about Rutgers and SMU and how they're recruiting?
You and I were getting into a little bit of a debate pre-show about which of these two schools do we think are capably going to be able to actually sustain this, or is it a flash in the pan? And, frankly, I think that Rutgers, the classes they put together, the 29 kids that they have committed currently, is such high volume and so early that if they do lose a couple of kids, I think that they're going to be fine. I think they're going to finish in the top half of the Big Ten. I think that there's now an aggressive commitment from the Rutgers fan base to put money towards that program. They have a wealthier alumni base than I think that people realize. The reason why I'm not as high, you shouldn't be doing that to our people like that. Come on, man. Don't.
My people. You don't have, I mean, my people.
I'm as a New Jersey Italian, we can't play into the stereotype. But my point is that SMU, I don't know if it's totally as sustainable because their class is smaller. And I always feel like with that region, when at the end of the cycle, if Texas or Oklahoma, any of those programs in that region, and especially in Texas, if they lose a couple of kids, who do they trickle down to? LSU is another team that's not that far away. Who do they move on down to go steal from? They steal from SMU. They steal from TCU. They steal from Houston. So I'm just a little wary that I don't know if that's going to go as they would hope because of how competitive it is to recruit in that region.
Let me just say this. I don't disagree with you. Look, Rutgers has the number 16 class. SMU's in the top 25.
Yeah.
The thing with SMU that makes me more cautious about them than Rutgers is the simple fact that literally SMU paid their way into the ACC and is not taking revenue. And, Joe, the truth is what if you talk to anybody at SMU, which I made a couple of phone calls today, you know that I've had an immense love for Rhett Lashley and the connection that our show has with him. Joe, they're playing the game. And I'm not saying that Rutgers won't. I'm not saying that Rutgers is anemic when it comes to NIL, that they don't have money. Joe, SMU and the greater Fort Worth, Dallas area is putting their foot down and saying,
we're back.
I mean, in a lot of ways, Joe, there are big P4 teams that aren't spending the money that SMU is. They're not. Now, it's not showing up in recruiting, but ask Florida if they could spend what they need to spend to flip a conference. Ask anybody. So I think SMU could be the thorn in the side in recruiting that we thought TCU would have been some years ago. Remember when TCU comes into the P5? There's a lot of traction. They got to a couple Rose Bowls. You remember the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton going out there in a Rose Bowl with arguably one of the best uniforms in the country, black and purple. Okay, the black on purple was phenomenal. They had the horned frog that had the rose in its mouth. Beautiful. Everybody was on that TCU hype train. SMU feels like that they are trying to sustain for generations. So I get what you mean if you're looking at the ranking at the current moment, but that Dallas-Fort Worth area, though, man, it's putting out some serious dudes.
Rutgers
could go in a 30-mile radius and not go anywhere else.
I get that, and I know that Texas is a hotbed for recruiting talent. But at the same time, I still stand with, I just don't know. What I need to find out is if they keep all these kids committed, or at least most of them. I just worry that the more consistently dominant programs that are in that region are just going to scoop up any of the top kids that they have. I will say the one spot where I do have pause is acknowledging the fact of how good they were when Eric Dickerson was there and they had the Pony Express and they were doing NIL before NIL way, but they were the first team to get in trouble for doing that shit.
Before NIL was cool, brother.
Yeah, so if they suddenly manage to find a way to have an influx of cash, because they're also a very rich fan base. Well,
they've shown it. I mean, they're showing it. Joe, let me say this. This is a big part that I want to get to. I look at Keelan Russell decommitting from Duncanville and then obviously going to or committing to Alabama, going to the Elite 11 and winning it. That's the level of talent that they're recruiting in that Dallas-Fort Worth area. Joe,
that's a good example. They just lost. The best kid that they had just dipped.
All right. To Bama.
What do you think is going to happen in Oklahoma and Texas?
You don't
the
think
phone
it, I mean,
they need a receiver or a tackle.
Ohio State came in and took two of the top four kids in the state of New Jersey. You got to understand the level of teams that we're comparing to here. SMU and Rutgers. Ohio State can go into New Jersey and pluck the top two of the top four guys.
Ohio State can do that in any state.
Well, they can't do it in any state. But all I'm saying is when you're comparing them, they are identifying elite talent. God forbid this kid doesn't get or invited to the Elite 11, then what? Now, I'm going to say this because when we did DeCorian Moore's commitment about this time last year, Joe, I screamed about this kid on the top of the rooftops. I'm like, the entire buzz about Keelan Russell when I was in Duncanville was about Keelan Russell. Like everything, coaching staff that I talked to, there was a scout that that's in the area that was there, okay? He's an NFL guy. All I'm saying is that the level of talent that they have brought in is something serious. All I'm going to say, I'm going to stay. Here come the Mustangs.
Let's see if they stay committed. That's all okay. It comes down to. We're not recruiting experts, but I don't know, man. I think that historically a lot of times when top programs miss out on a kid that they thought they were going to get, or a kid who was committed flips to somewhere else, they're going to jump right on down to any of these other guys that they have.
We'll see. Also, we continue on our deep dives. Ohio State, the Ohio State University, and the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. Yesterday's show got a lot of feedback, a lot of traction. So I'm sure, as we have a lot of rabid Oregon and Ohio State fans, that this is going to be as not positively received, but as aggressively received as the other two segments we did yesterday were.
Look, there is an area of concern with me for Ohio State. We've talked about it.
But not for Oregon?
No, and Oregon too.
Okay.
But I don't know if Ohio State's that's why you got to let me finish. I don't know if Ohio State's level of concern is as high for me as Oregon's is. Joe, when you go into the portal and have to replenish an entire room, Dan Lanning or not Dan Lanning, that can be an issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to bring up. That's what I'm going to bring up later. Ohio State might be one of the few teams that I've got one question mark, which is the one that I've consistently brought up, that the Ohio State fans are probably going to get pissed at me again today, but I really don't see many holes. I really don't see many roster holes. This team is extremely balanced. Oregon, though, you kind of alluded to it. I'll wait till we get to really reveal it when we come out of the break, but yeah, there's a position group that they completely replaced that we didn't even talk about when we did the spring game recap. There is a position group that is a bunch of guys got drafted, and there is going to be a lot of work that I think goes into making sure that that unit doesn't end up being a liability.
Yeah, we'll touch on it. Again, I'm just not as worried about Ohio State as I am Oregon. So we'll get into that. I do think that Oregon added one key piece that nobody in the country is talking about, even though he had a very bad year last year.
Who?
Seth McLaughlin, the center.
Did you say Oregon? Just say Ohio State? I don't know.
Ohio State. I think
that's the one ad that they have that I'm not very impressed with.
No, I went and watched him today, Joe. I understand the snaps. Him after the snap is pretty vicious. Actually, I'm going to be a little honest with you. As someone who played that position, I don't know if I would say he's one of the top three centers in the country.
Okay, that's a complete overreaction. No, he's not.
No, it's
there,
not.
There are better centers in college football than it. I'm not off the top of my head. I hate when you do the bullshit that people do. Name them. I don't know off the top of my head, but Seth McLaughlin was extremely inconsistent last year.
At snapping.
Not just at snapping. He was an inconsistent blocker as well. There were games where he didn't play that cleanly
last year.
He's playing center. It's very hard to give up sacks at center. How many times are you double teaming at center? Quite often.
Probably like 98%. That's why I never gave up a sack.
Exactly the point. So he's going to get buoyed by the fact that he's got Booker right next to him.
All right.
I don't know, dude. I don't hate the ad, but I just don't know if that's
at the end of the year. You're going to come in here and say, Joe, I don't come at you and talk about long snapping, which, by the way, speaking of special teams, did you see all the hate we got from the Miami people about not talking about special teams?
Wait, really?
Yeah, I commented on every single one of them. Y'all didn't talk about the kicker. And I'm like, we're putting you in the playoffs and you're wanting to talk about your kicker?
Look, as a former specialist, don't y'all miss me with that shit. I don't. What? Miami. How did we get here?
That's how we got here. All right.
Hit the ad break. I need a breath.
We got to get rolling. Everybody, do us a favor. Hit the like and share. If you're on Facebook, all the groups, all your social media pages, you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Joe coming up on 7,000 subscribers on the tube. Mm. So hit that subscribe button and notification bell wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. We break down Ohio State and Oregon. We do that next. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. All right. Joe, zero time to waste here, because I think that both of these segments are going to be absolutely electric. Mm-hmm. Joe, Urban Meyer came out a while back and said that the Ohio State University might be the most talented roster that maybe college football has ever seen. It came back. They were like, oh, he's overreacting. He's being a homer. But then you really look at this team and start asking questions. Just how good can Ohio State be? Is Urban Meyer wrong? Now, I don't necessarily agree with them being one of the best rosters ever. That I think you got to go out there and prove it before those kinds of things can be said. However, Joe, there's just not a lot of holes on this team. The talent level that is on this team is absolutely ridiculous. And I think I got to be honest, if they're not preseason number two behind Georgia, I'm sorry. You could put them at preseason number one for me. If we're being honest, they might be the top team in the land.
I won't go as far. I'm sorry, Ohio State fans. I'm really high on you guys this year. I won't go as far as to say they're number one for the one reason. I think having a returning quarterback on your roster is incredibly important. So Carson Beck being the sitting returning starter, I'm going to lean on them. They're always going to be my number one team unless they show some signs of them taking steps backward, which I don't think is going to happen unless Kirby Smart just disappears and goes into hiding or whatever he decides to do. But to talk about Ohio State, the only take to really have is one, what you just said. They're a top two team. Anyone who puts them anywhere else is trying way too hard. But most importantly, we commended Michigan last year, the entire media, for the way that they brought everybody back, that they committed in NIL. Mm-hmm. They brought back all of their top playmakers, Blake Corum, an important offensive lineman like Zach Zinter, good, important defensive line pieces came back, their linebacking core, Junior Colson, all of these experienced, dominant athletes at Michigan came back. And this is your rival in Ohio State, and you realized instead of trying to go in other directions, why not try to replicate what Michigan just did? Michigan, as we did their preview, it's going to take them some time to get where they back to where they need to be, as they had a massive, massive roster turnover. But Ohio State barely lost anybody, especially to the draft. Albeit that they lost Marvin Harrison Jr., their receiving room feels deeper. It feels more balanced as young guys are going to be stepping up. I'm curious to see what Carnell Tate does. Jeremiah Smith could be really exciting and fun to watch. Their running back duo is the best in the country without debate between Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. And I really think that their offensive line with John Fryer, I think, is an underrated right tackle that they have. And I'm a big fan of Donovan Jackson as one of my top interior offensive linemen in the country and also for the 2025 NFL draft. This group of players that they have front to back is one of the deepest in the country, if not the deepest in the country. And they have so much premier talent at the top that there shouldn't be any debate. I know we're going to get to in a second, Blake, talking about what is going to happen when these two teams face with Oregon and Ohio State. But right now, I feel pretty confident that Ohio State is the second best team in the country.
Basically, this all comes down to Will Howard, and I'm not going to I don't want to get back in the debate with you. We've had so many conversations about him. I personally think he's going to be more than serviceable. I think he's good enough to be the quarterback to lead them to a national title. That's me, okay, because I don't believe that you need a game changer there
Literally, to win a title, you need a returning quarterback. I'm sorry. You need a returning quarterback.
I'm not saying that you don't. I'm not saying that you don't, okay? However, All I'm saying is it's not like Will Howard doesn't have 792 passing attempts on his career.
Okay, but wait. This has been my whole point with Will Howard is he's fine. I don't think he takes you heads above what they had last year.
I don't agree with the just overall notion that you have to be spectacular at the position when you have that much talent around you.
You don't have to be spectacular at the position, but having a returning starter is important.
Not where I'm trying to – I get that. Not where I'm trying to go.
Okay.
But all I am saying is that's the question mark that everybody has. And by the way, if Will Howard is your biggest question mark, I got a newsflash for you. He's not a bad quarterback. Like, at all. So when I hear people talk about him, I just say, okay, you're talking about him as if the kid just sucks. No, that's not even remotely true. That's how it comes off when everybody says, you need a returning quarterback to win it all. Okay, that's fine. That is what history has shown us the last couple of years. Actually, that's not true because Stetson Bennett did it. Now, I understand that Stetson Bennett was a first-time starter when he won Georgia's first national championship.
But he had already been on the roster.
I get what you're saying, but that is
CBS Sports did an article, though, in like the last 10 years, I think almost every single year there were a couple exceptions where returning head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and quarterback.
So, again, we talked about Miami, me talking about cohesion being a big deal. I do agree that cohesion could be interesting here. How does things play out with Chip Kelly and Ryan Day? Are they on the same? There's so many things that they have to figure out. I agree with you. But, Joe, when I look at their schedule, they have Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, and at Michigan State. They have four games, pretty much an old NFL preseason to figure it out. And they will figure it out. Their schedule in the front part of this is so light. Joe, they could figure things out during games and run shit to see what works, because the first three teams that they play are dog water. Okay, like, let's just get that out of the way. So I understand that you're talking about cohesion. They don't play anybody in the top that could threaten them. Nobody. I look at what they brought in and Will Howard, Quinchon Judkins, and Caleb Downs. I think they brought in the Kyrmet kid from Ohio, the tight end, who might be serviceable, could be serviceable, and then everything that they have returning. So I just don't know offensively if there are holes. Like, I don't. Will Howard, okay, whatever. But
I need to cut you off. We got to stop doing this. Like, you're framing me up. Seriously, like, you're framing me up like I'm saying that Will Howard sucks. I've never said on here that Will Howard sucks. All I have pointed out is that there is not much of a gap between him and Kyle McCord. This is not an improvement that takes them over the top. This is one that keeps them trending in a forward direction. And this is all I've been trying to say. He's not a game changer. He is a good quarterback who has started football games. So we got to stop acting like I said the kid sucks. Those words never came out of my mouth, Blake. You just said that I thought he was a hole. I don't think that he's a roster hole.
I didn't say you. I said
you just did.
No, I didn't. Go back.
You just said they might not have holes, and then you said, "Well, you brought up." No,
I said I'm basically was coming in here conceding. If you think that he could be an issue, I'm fine with that. But Joe, everywhere else offensively, I don't think that they have holes. Now, the interior of their offensive line did scare me in that spring game, especially at left guard.
Isn't Donovan Jackson their left guard?
Right guard, whichever one it was. Whichever the interior pressure that we came in here during the spring game said, oh, shit, they were giving up too much pressure.
Look, I'm not worried about the – look, this all comes down to what I think with this team. I'm really not worried about – we're doing the same thing that we did yesterday that you and I started yelling about with Alabama. Is it a guy – got pushed around a couple reps because he was going up against Tyreek Williams in a ridiculous defensive line, or was it because the kid actually isn't good? Well, I think that plays more to how talented and gifted their defensive line is. And why I'm really confident in Ohio State, though, to move this conversation along. Defensively, they're going to be able to lean on that side of the football. If there is any slow steps towards figuring out who are the playmakers outside of Emeka Buka, which they don't even need time to figure that out. We know who the big names are. But if, say, they have a slow game offensively, they're going to be like Michigan's team last year, where their defensive line, their linebackers, their safeties, their corners, every single one of those guys at all those position groups are top 10, top 15 in the country at their given position groups. That's why I have so much confidence in this Ohio State team.
All right. We got some super chats flying in here. We'll get to them in just some at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Let me stay with me here until the end. If we're going to move to defense, what is Ohio State's goal this year?
Win a national title.
All right. To win a national title.
And to beat Michigan.
And to beat Michigan, which I think they're going to do. Joe, I think we talked about yesterday, stats could be deceiving. Last year, Ohio State's run defense was 27th in the country. Very good, right? Like, when you look at them, that is very good. Joe, against the above-average offensive lines that they faced last year, which were two, I would say three with Missouri, they gave up well over 150 yards to Michigan and well over 170 yards against Notre Dame. Now, I understand Notre Dame didn't score, so what are you talking about? They only scored.
They also couldn't throw the ball. They had to run the ball.
Right, only 14 points. What are you discussing? When you do face, if there is a hole, and it's not a massive hole, it's like a very small little leak, I wonder if your goal is to win a national championship, if you have to face offensive lines like Georgia, if you have to face an offensive line like LSU, God forbid, I do ask the questions about, hey, the two biggest high-profile games that you had last year, the worst defensive area that you had statistically was getting pushed around in the run game. I mean, Joe, the question that I start asking, are they good, like really good at rushing the passer? Yes. But the biggest high-profile games that you've had the last 2 years, the offensive lines for the opposing team pushed you around. And that's ultimately what got you beat. So I don't know how I'm trying to frame this. Do I think that their defensive line's really good? Yeah, I think they're really good. However, is there something to be said if that, like, every time that you lose, that is the biggest weakness on your defense? Because, Joe, last year they were the number one secondary in the country. We can debate it. But every statistical metric, they were at number one. So I say, if there is something that I'm like, hey, if they face Georgia, now what?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about that. That's I'm just
fair.
I keep comparing them to Michigan. And 2 years ago, what happened to Michigan in the college football playoff? Their defense, that was their strength, got cooked. They got run all over. They gave up a ton of splash plays. Following season, all those important players come back. They're older. They're more experienced. They have the depth. Most of those guys don't leave. There is something to be said, I think, about progression, especially when they have the quality of talent on the roster that I know is going to improve and get better. And when we watch the tape, we watch JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer, they're not super productive pass rushers, but they are punch you in the mouth, go to war the type of guys against the run.
The issue with them about team sacks, I'm looking at it right now, is everybody has at least three or more, okay? But the highest guy is 6.5. So everybody,
yeah, they don't have a premier well, guy.
Hot but take.
Just like Michigan.
Well, exactly. Thank you. And I was going to compare that. Last year, Michigan didn't have a double-digit guy, right? Like, they had, five dudes with 5.5 sacks or more. That was the thing that propelled them. Yeah. So I'm looking down here, 6.5, 5, 3, 3.5, 5, 5.5. No, I don't think getting after the quarterback was necessarily your issue. That's not what I'm saying. But, again, we're having to compare them to what we need to compare them to against Ohio, I mean, against Georgia and all these other teams. Now, I look at their schedule in just as a whole. Joe, the first month of their schedule is the biggest cakewalk ever.
Like Michigan last year. So many parallels.
Side note, remember this when we talk about should the SEC go to 9 conference games? Remember we did that literally a month ago on this show? All I am saying is Don't talk shit about the SEC when this.
No one has talked shit about the SEC schedule. I never talked shit.
Have you ever seen a Joel Klatt segment in your life?
I don't listen to Joel Klatt, so I don't. Okay,
if you look at Fox and at Joel Klatt specifically, he has at least once a month why the SEC.
All right. I'm not letting you hijack this segment with that. Okay.
Regardless, Joe, I don't see anybody besides having to go to Oregon, okay, which we'll talk about here probably at length. Joe, nobody on this schedule scares me outside of that for them.
They have an incredibly favorable schedule, too, that I think sets them up. And I'm just going to come right out here and say it. I think they go 12-0. I think they run the table. I think that they win the Big Ten. What this does end up coming down to is when do you want to lose to Oregon? Because you're going to probably have to play Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. And I stand by one of the biggest...
Hard to beat a team twice.
The biggest cliche in all of football.
Just happened to Oregon last year.
Well, Oregon managed to lose twice to Washington. So there's possibility that when we get to the Oregon segment, we talk about this, that they could lose twice to Ohio State because Dan Lanning hasn't gotten it out of his system of winning in big games. But to get back to here with Ohio State, I think that they are so balanced that despite them having to go on the road, and this is what I was really grappling with in the pre-show. Like, I was really fighting with myself on, man, who the hell do I pick? Because you go to Oregon, but Ohio State's the slightly better team. So who wins in this matchup? I'm going with Ohio State right now. Maybe that changes mid-season, but I feel like Ohio State wins that matchup and they run the table and they go 12-0.
All right. I'm going to save that for Oregon segment about that matchup. This is what I would say. I just don't know if Oregon has enough. Like, I legitimately don't. I think that there's a big concern with them that people don't – I think they have a lot of talent, but we'll get to that in a minute. Joe, I think they run the table too. I think they go undefeated, and they are my Big Ten champions. I'm going to tell you this. Until Dan Lanning proves that he can win the big one for me, I do this for everybody. Everybody wants to do it for the coach that I cover every day. Mm-hmm. So let's do it for Dan. You just came off a very successful season. Very successful. 12-2 is nothing to sneeze at. But you got a lot of turnover and the things that you got to get corrected. I think at the end of this, it's going to be Ohio State and Georgia. Those are my two teams. And I think that they run the table. And I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that Michigan game doesn't get ugly.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout because they've been lopsided lately, but they haven't been. We rarely get blowouts. These teams are too evenly matched for that Michigan Ohio State game to become a blowout.
I agree, but
I really think it looks like last year's game.
Could be. And that game was 30-24. I mean, Joe, we're literally a Kyle McCord getting hit in the backfield sack where he throws it up for grabs away. They were marching down the field, right? Like they were marching down the field to beat Ohio State. They would have beaten them. But Johnson makes a great play. I'm pretty sure it was Will Johnson that makes a great play. And we're off to the races. Defensively, look, Denzel Burke, we didn't even talk about Caleb Downs here, okay? Just very quickly, what I'd say on him, he's the best DB, in my opinion, in the country. Joe, you're adding 107. Hot take. I think they're going to be the best secondary in the country again.
That should be a hot take. I mean, Denzel Burke, Caleb Downs, Latham Ransom, and then Styles, who was playing some safety, moves to linebacker because they got so many dudes. Like, that Styles kid is crazy.
Who's their DB's coach? I want to know who their DB's coach is.
Let me look it up.
Just saying.
I got one hand, but I'm going to look it up.
All right, while you look it up, Elks sends us a $2 super chat. It says, is Howard better or as good as
Tim Walton? Tim Walton.
Tim Walton needs we're going to have a discussion on Tim Walton. He asked you a question. Is Howard as good as Stetson Bennett? Joe is a hater, says Elk.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, they're so different. They're so different. And that Georgia team...
I think Stetson is the better decision maker.
This Ohio State team is not as good as that Georgia team from a couple of years ago. I'm sorry, but it's not. We got to be real with ourselves for a quick second. This Ohio State team is really freaking good. That is one of the greatest teams of all time, that Georgia team that we saw with Stetson.
I mean, Ohio State fans will know that Stetson Bennett in the second half against him, that offense wasn't anything to sneeze at either in 22. Alex also says, Joe, how many times do I have to say it? Howard is a big upgrade over McCord. He effed up this line, wouldn't run, didn't go through reads. Howard does all of that.
But first of all, we can't say that when Kyle McCord stunk on a better team and didn't get benched, but Will Howard stunk on a worse team at times against and did get benched. Avery Johnson ended up playing at the end of the season because they realized it was time. What?
Well, Howard came back at the end of the year.
It was pretty clear that the direction that they were moving in.
It was
pretty clear. I'm not saying that Will Howard is bad. Will Howard has had inconsistencies and he's had a number of bad games, just like Kyle McCord, where he has completely crapped his pants and caused them to lose. The Oklahoma State game is the one that's like ingrained in my mind. That's the one I can't get out of my head because he had an utter meltdown. I remember watching that game on a Friday. I remember watching Ollie Gordon go off.
Yeah, it was like 28-0 like in the first half. It would get bad.
I was blown away. And honestly, I'm a little – maybe this is where my bias on him comes from, is that I'm a little scorned by the way that he played against Missouri because I thought that Kansas State was going to win that goddamn game. I thought Kansas State was really good last year, and he didn't play great.
I wish we could go back to those picks and see who picked Oklahoma State that week.
I don't even know if we picked that game. But all I'm saying is that both are athletically gifted. Not Will Howard's a better athlete. Both are physically gifted quarterbacks. Kyle McCord was a 5-star, high 4-star by most platforms. Will Howard was a mid-level 4-star on a lot of platforms. Okay. I think that all that happened with Kyle McCord, and everybody can agree with me here, and I've heard from some people his demeanor after games. Like, he was just really shaken mentally. And it's one of those things where you can tell the kid was just out of it. He was – the pressure was too much for him. Doesn't mean he's not gifted. He just couldn't handle the pressure of the situation.
I don't know what this means, but Jordan says Joe De Leon more like Joey Bluey.
You know what that means.
I don't know what that means. I really don't. What does he mean?
Well, I'm not gonna give it the attention that it wants. I don't. You know what the second word is in that.
I mean, but I'm trying to find the pun. I mean, it's not fun.
There's no pun. It's not creative.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for giving us money. Let's get to Oregon. So here we go. Speaking of the team that probably is going to have to face Ohio State twice. Joe, we continue on our deep dives. We go to Eugene, Oregon, a team that we talked about last night about how good Dan Lanning is recruiting. Joe, first year in the Big Ten, a big transition for any program to have to go through. Why do I feel like Oregon is one of the top two teams in all of the Big Ten this year?
Yeah, this is where I know we're all hyped up on Ohio State from that segment. They're the second best team in the Big Ten. I know that feels like we're kind of shortchanging them a little bit because I feel how much we talked about them and hyped them up yesterday and how much Oregon fans are excited for their first year in the Big Ten. They're the second best team in the conference. I don't see, and we've already, I think this is the last Big Ten preview. There's not really any competition for them for that second spot. And they also, just like Ohio State, have a really favorable schedule. But it shouldn't be a hot take to say that. Who would compete with them? Seriously, like who would Penn State maybe, who we're not super juiced up about, who the heck would compete with them?
I think Penn State if you're talking about a team like, hey, well, or welcome to the Big Ten. I mean, you can't sleep on Penn State. Maybe, you know, like those kinds of things that happen, right? Like, hey, Penn State comes in, they're more physical, kind of shocks Oregon that they, I mean, all of the cliches.
Yeah.
However, dude, I just think that they're, I don't think that any, I think Dan Lanning's a really good coach, and I honestly believe that they have a lot of freaking talent. And I know that there's been a lot of conversation about Dylan Gabriel. Joe, I mean, what conversations? I don't think Oklahoma should have ran him off, personally.
I agree with that.
I thought it was the dumbest thing for them to do was to run him off. But it's just the level of dudes that they added around it. Evan Stewart, Jabbar Muhammad, Derek Harmon, and Jamaree Caldwell. Just like those dudes alone. Okay, like even taking out Dante Moore, who is going to be a very talented quarterback. They continue to recruit at a high level, portal, high school, which I think is going to bode well for them. I do have some question marks on them, and it's and look, when Joe, when you compare, like, so we just picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten, and why we think Oregon's at two is because you have to find those fine lines for teams like this. I do think that there are question marks with them defensively, even though Dan Lanning is a really damn strong defensive coach. Joe, they have four new dudes in the defensive backfield. Jabbar Muhammad, Kobe Savage, Braden Johnson, and Cam Alexander are all going to be starters for them potentially, and they're coming back. That's a whole new secondary that you have to break into your system. So I just look at them and say, look, I think you're talented offensive line, defensive line. I think you added two really good interior defensive tackles from the portal that can play now. Maybe that takes some pressure off of Jordan Birch. I know that they have elite talent in their secondary. Like, I very much love Jabbar Muhammad from Washington. The playoffs alone, I mean, he was ridiculous against Texas. I mean, he was the one who knocked the ball away against A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they can hold off Ohio State. Now, the question that this instantly becomes to, Joe, number one, are they used to the week-to-week physicality, which I do think that they are, that you would get in the Big Ten. But number two, that game against Ohio State's in Eugene, though, man, and that place at night could be very loud. So I just asked the question.
Is it a night game, or I don't even know if that's been
– I mean, I don't even know if it's a night game. Forget if it even is a night game. Now, let's just say it's not at night. But on the West Coast, it's not going to be an 11 a.m. game, I wouldn't imagine.
No, it'll probably be
2:30 game, you know, like a big time matchup here.
Yeah, probably an afternoon game.
All I am saying is that I do think that you could have a situation here where they could split, and then things start really becoming interesting. Here's the final line for me. Even if you replicated exactly what you did last year and you lose to Ohio State twice for whatever happens, so what? You're going to be in the playoffs, and quite honestly, you're just as talented as any other team from 5 through 12 that you're going to face. It's like they're going to be favored, Joe, arguably. I mean, I don't know who they wouldn't be favored in the playoff. Maybe Georgia, Ohio State. I mean, they might be the third best team in the nation, but they might be the second best team in their conference.
So the way that I look at this with them, you hit all the descriptors for this roster. There's very rarely can we feel confident about a new quarterback stepping in and not really thinking there's much concern on if they're capable or not. I've said this continuously.
Oh, we saw Dylan Gabriel do it twice, though.
I really think that he's done it multiple times. Dylan Gabriel is the perfect quarterback for the system. I think that there's a legitimate shot. Him and Will Stein connect so effectively, and Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart are so productive that he ends up being a Heisman finalist when it's all said and done. I love their tackles. And the offensive line that they have is very stout. Their running back room is really underrated, by the way. They have got this one kid, Jay Harris, who's like a Division II, Division III player who really caught my eye during the spring game, and talked to somebody about him, and it sounds like there's a potential he could be a real spark plug for that offense. He's listed as the third running back right now. I really think that despite them being the second best team in their conference, they, to me, look like they'll be the best unseeded team in the playoff. They look like that they can be the best.
Will they be a 6 seed? A 5 seed.
Yeah. I really think that even if they don't win the Big Ten and they lose to Ohio State twice, that is not an indictment of how good this team is. And that's where Oregon can really flourish in these situations of the future of college football. They've always been, when they weren't in the playoff the many years that they weren't, they were in it a couple of times, they were always right on the outside. They were always really gifted and really talented, and I think that they could seriously benefit from the challenges of having to play Ohio State twice and then being battle-tested to go up against whoever they might have to end up facing. So they really end up landing in a position where they could do some damage. They could end up being one of the last four teams remaining just because they got a foot in the door and they know how to go toe-to-toe because they did it twice against Ohio State.
I think if their secondary wasn't filled with a lot of transfer portal guys, but see, here's the thing. I'm going to contradict myself in this. I know that I am. Joe, I think they got really talented dudes at the DB position. But Joe, when you have four of them, I mean, you start talking about that cohesion, that word continues to come up in all of these deep dives because of just how the portal is. But God, man, Jabbar Muhammad is really good. Kobe Savage, really good. Braden Johnson might be that nickelback, and Cam Alexander. But, you know, I flip it to the other side. Joe, you know what I'm noticing in all these? I don't know. This might be the year of the wide receiver in the draft, if I'm being honest, if you think about it. I'm going to another position group with Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson, two guys that could be 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, Tez Johnson was a year ago. He was a 1,200-yard receiver, double-digit touchdowns. Joe, is Oregon now the best receiver unit in the country? I mean, like, Evan Stewart's a dude. Tez Johnson's a dude. Oh, and by the way, Trey, the Holden kid, I know that he only didn't have 500 yards, but six big TDs in crucial situations. Jordan James comes back, by the way, and had double-digit touchdowns there too. Man, this is going to be a really good unit in what they utilize, man.
I think that, yeah, if we were to come up with who the best duo is at receiver right now, I think that Oregon does end up fitting that billing because of, like,
they would be in the top three. That's my point. Like, hey, man, you're going up against this is going to be the talk for me when we get to Oregon and Ohio State. Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart versus Burke and Downs.
Yeah, you've got a former five-star, and you've got one of the most underrated receivers.
Are all of them former five-stars?
Tez Johnson's not a former five-star.
Okay.
Evan Stewart obviously was a former five-star. But you brought up the secondary a second ago. That's the one position group I'm a little bit unsure of. Not that I don't think they can't be really good in their secondary because the guys that they brought in were all pretty gifted. They were all pretty important players for their teams last year. Their defensive line's really freaking stout. Jordan Birch, and one player to watch, Mateo Uyunglele, DJU's little brother, is a house. That kid is tough. He is physical. There's a real shot that he could explode onto the scene this year. He's projected to start right now as a true sophomore, and he got a ton of reps last year. But right now we are projected at both corner spots, at nickel and at safety, to have transfers coming in. It's not that I don't think that this group will be good, but as we have brought up with a lot of these teams, and as you have alluded to a second ago, it does need to be said that when you have this many dudes in a position group, one that requires a ton of communication, that requires a ton of awareness and feel for understanding of where everybody is. We're not talking about one corner and one safety or two safeties and the corners are returning. All of these guys are all new coming from somewhere else. The only guy that's coming back is Tysheem Johnson. That is the only guy that's returning coming back.
And look, he was one of their leading tacklers last year. He had 70 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and 2 picks. I mean, Joe, could he be the anchor? Now, here's the question that I keep having in the back of my mind. Does that radio in the helmet help for a new, brand new unit where you can get things aligned? So, look, we'll see. I am pretty high on Oregon here, though, in reference to what all they've built there. Let me ask you the ultimate question here. What's going to be said about Dan Lanning if he doesn't win the Big Ten?
I don't think...
Because now...
There is going to be heavy...
Let me put some context on this. Did you see today, now that everybody's comparing him to Kirby, everybody's like, stop comparing him! Like, it's all over social media today, too. And I'm like, I don't know about all that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, all over.
I didn't end up catching that. Mm-hmm. The thing with if Dan Lanning doesn't win the Big Ten in his first year in the conference, I think there's going to be heavy overreaction to it. I really do think that there is going to be aggressive overreaction where everyone's going to start playing the game of. And I brought this up when we were talking Ohio State. Can Dan Lanning win the big game? That's what's going to get brought up. You know, is he just a guy who's going to put together really good rosters and just fall short every single year? Kirby Smart, it took him time. We're talking about year three and unbelievable recruiting success that he's had. I don't think that Dan Lanning, there is not the same amount of pressure on Dan Lanning as there is on Ryan Day right now. Dan Lanning does not need to win the Big Ten. He does not need to beat Ohio State even once for me to feel like he is pushing this program forward in the right direction. I think that Oregon fans certainly would be disappointed based on the way that they've reacted to in a lot of our comments. I think a lot of them think that they deserve legitimacy in the national championship conversation. And I'd argue that they might be the third or fourth best team in the country right now. But we need to realize that with Kirby, who we compared him to yesterday, he had a lot of time. It wasn't an immediate right away thing. It was season after season of improving.
National championship in year two, though. Year two or year three, I think. Yeah, he played Alabama. Remember the Devonta Smith in the back of the end zone.
I don't think it was that soon. Wait.
Yeah, I think it was that soon.
But before he won one, though, it still took him time before he was able to get there.
Yeah,
it wasn't
7 years.
Wait, where? How do I pull up
his record? I'm pretty sure
like his year by year. So 2016.
Yeah, 2017 they played for a national title.
Why is Wikipedia so goddamn hard to read? Jesus Christ.
Either way, Georgia fans, if you're in here, let us know. I see one. To your point, you know, Joe, when you talk about
that. Yeah, they did. The second year, they lost. Yeah.
To Alabama, Devonta Smith game.
Yeah.
I do say this, Joe, and I don't want to get this. I don't want to say that their secondary isn't extremely talented. Joe, they brought in four really good players to be in their secondary. I just asked the question, like, Joe, we didn't even talk about Jeremiah Smith in the Ohio State deep dive that we did. Like, that's not a fun unit to go up against. Can Kyle McCord get him the football is going to be a big question, too. So, I mean, there are question marks that need to be answered, and I think that Oregon's right there knocking on the door. When it comes to Dan, okay, I just don't think it's fair to say if he loses to what everybody has said might be one of the best rosters ever. I don't find that as a slight. Let me just say this too. I need more production if we're talking about Oregon and defense. I need more production from Jordan Birch. Three sacks is not enough to be the guy that you're projected to be.
I mean, to be very blunt, I think he's been a player who's been a bit overhyped throughout his recruitment and his college
career.
Not
there, and that's the biggest thing is that he doesn't. I mean, three sacks, okay, is not anything to sneeze at. However, it's like you need more. Now they do bring in Caldwell along the defensive line from Houston. They bring in Derek Harmon from Michigan State. A lot of people wanted Derek Harmon. He goes to Oregon. I don't know how much that helps Jordan Birch. But when you add really quality defensive linemen, everything helps.
Well, they also lost Brandon Dorlus to the draft this past year, who was a guy that I really liked when I was doing scouting for the 2024 class and who was grading and ranking those guys. But I'm not really worried about his production because I just don't know if he's ever going to really get to where everyone thought he was supposed to be. He's just one of those dudes that's really physically gifted, but doesn't totally actualize it. I'm not trying to knock him too much, but the production kind of proves my point where he hasn't really brought it to fruition. It's in there somewhere. I'm really a lot higher on Uwe Ungwale, man. I really think that kid is going to turn some heads once he gets into a rhythm. He might be the real one. You know, Jordan Birch might be taking attention away for everyone saying that, oh, here's this returning senior. We need to keep an eye on him. We need to maybe hit him with a double team, whatever it might be. But I really think that DJ Uiagalelei is going to be a badass MF-er in the Big Ten.
Not DJ.
Sorry, Mateo. DJ is not a badass. Mateo is a badass.
I mean, I don't think you would square up against DJ at a bar.
I'm 5'11". Hell no. No, obviously not. Part of me wonders if what would happen if DJU was playing defensive end like his brother. Who knows what his career would have been like. But, you know,
I've told you this story. You know, a good buddy of mine works for the Dodgers. He's in their front office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last pick in the MLB draft last year, do you know who the player was?
It was DJU.
It was DJU. They took him. And I asked the scout, I'm like, why do you take him? He goes, listen, I don't need him to be highly accurate, but do you – I mean, like, basically what he was saying, did you see him run against really good athletes? Like, the dude was a really good baseball player, and they drafted him. They hoped he would have signed, but he didn't. I don't know if they don't do it again and give him options.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right. We will see y'all again on Wednesday. Any thoughts on where we will go as we continue on these deep dives?
I wonder who we do next. Maybe we do Notre Dame. I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the headspace with this goddamn heat. I don't know if I can. I think I need to be ready, fully prepared. I do think, though, that we do Notre Dame and LSU in the same show. Let's plan for that next Monday or Sunday. I think that could be the most chaotic episode that we've done.
I think we need to do LSU Notre Dame on Sunday.
It's TBD based on, because I'm moving on Saturday. It's TBD is when the move will be complete. This has been a month-long process. It's been hell.
All right.
When moved in, if my setup is good and I have internet, we're going on Sunday.
All right. Well, we'll keep you in touch. All right. We'll see y'all Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.